Oh, still Tiffin, all right. The classic.
Yeah.
All right, Gogs.
Mike Jones!
Welcome to Mike Jones, the podcast. That's right, Mike Jones, the podcast. It's still Jennifer Lopez-Alooza, and we are watching Money Train.
This has been the longest month.
This month has been a slog. It's all slog. It's no kabooms.
I've missed two weeks, and this is the worst month I've ever done.
I wouldn't say you missed them. I wouldn't say.
I know you saw the best one we've seen so far, and it's still not very good.
I don't know. I feel like this one is better than the last two, but it's still not very good.
That's literally what I just did. What the fuck? I literally just said that.
For some reason, I don't know why I thought Alec watched one other movie. I don't know why.
Anyway, we watched Money Train, starring the incomparable Chris Cooper and noted husband Robert Blake.
Noted murderer Robert Blake.
Allegedly?
Jury's out.
No, he got convicted.
I mean, the jury's in, but the jury's out. So, anyway, it's a movie. It's literally about its title.
Is it really about its title?
No, it's barely about its title, but when the money train finally shows up,
it's exactly that.
Also, does this movie work in the age of digital currency? I postulate that it does not.
Why would they transport digital currency on a train? I Wikipedia'd about this. They don't have a money train anymore.
Did they actually though? Wait, at one time they actually did.
They did have a money train up until like 2006.
But they don't have one anymore.
Just catching dimes.
You can find the money train, and like apparently the New York Transit Authority has a museum, and it's there in the Transit Authority Museum.
Is Woody Harrelson's hairpiece also on display there?
His quaff is something else.
He's got a hockey mullet, sort of. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Also, like, so if you were doing your deep dive, your fact-checking, which we appreciate, Alec, is the idea that the money train would be clearing $4 million on a New Year's Eve, does that track? Were you privy to any of the financial figures?
They didn't get into like any specifics like that in my research, but I researched that it was an actual thing. It was painted, or it looked just like every other train because they wanted it to be inconspicuous. They didn't want people to know that the money train was coming through and be able to pick it out to rob it. So it looked just like other trains. And from one little article I read, they would literally like sometimes attach cars to it with passengers. Just so it would look like another, have like fake people in it, just so it would look like another train.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, it's just like running any other like transport around the place. So here's the deal. All right, so
here's the deal.
This movie takes place in 1995. A fare to run around the New York Metro or subway stations back then. Sounds like it was $1.50. So. If in that, I don't know if they were saying they were going to clear $4 million that night, or if it was, I don't know if they collected on the weekly. I don't know what it was, but I was just trying to do the hot math.
Well, it was an Ocean's 11 deal, because if they're going to clear that much that night, because it was New Year's Eve, the most traffic subway night of the year, it was like an Ocean's 11 why they robbed the casino on fight night.
Right.
Because they have to have that much money in the casino to cover all the bets.
Oh, same with a Logan Lucky scenario.
Sure, if that helps.
It does for me. So in that scenario, 2.666666 million people were riding the subway that day to make that kind of money train happen. Yes, sir.
According to the MTA.info, the subway has a daily ridership of approximately 3.2 million people.
Oh, so 4 mil is not... They should have been clearing significantly more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe they meant there's 3.2 million that ride it, like 1.1 million actually pay their fares.
Right.
You know what? I mean, shout out to Money Train for being like factually accurate on the book side of things. So you know what? That's one in its favor. The accounting checks out anyway.
The most important part of any film, the accounting, is right.
That makes it more believable. The most important part of the accounting.
Yeah. Right.
Money Train.
All right, fellas. We'll get into Money Train momentarily, but what did you all watch this week? I'm going to turn it over to Alex since he hasn't been here in like 7 weeks. So he probably watched 2,000 things.
I'm saying north of 12.
Well, nope, you're wrong. You're both wrong. Well, not 2,000.
One.
Three flims.
Damn, three.
And there were a couple of weeks ago. I've been watching a bunch of TV shows lately, recapping some and watching some new stuff. Watch MacGruber. MacGruber is excellent. It's a shame the TV show couldn't live up to the movie. Watch Talladega Nights. Talladega Nights is excellent.
Oh, hell yeah.
Banger.
Will Ferrell's best movie, despite what God thinks. And
it's
watch,
real good.
It's better than whatever that movie is called.
Contra Davy Padre.
Yes.
It's better than Semi Pro. My
sister. Yes, it's better than Semi Pro. I don't know what happened. Like, have you watched Semi Pro and, like, I don't know, you were drunk and high and your kid was born all at the same time or something where it's burned this?
I don't know.
I love for it. Like, it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's a really good movie. It's not even close to his best. It's not even, like, top five of his movies. I just find it crazy that it's your favorite, but regardless.
I mean, right? I like dumb shit.
And the final movie I watched, movie-wise, was Get Shorty.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. It's a fun one.
Which,
I don't think I've ever seen
it before. It's like, it's John Travolta at his, like, strongest point. Like, he's got his full charisma going. He's believable with his charisma. He's, like, charming. It's kind of wild when you look at John Travolta now and I'm just like, what happened?
Right.
But it's a good movie. It's, I had never seen it before. And I ended up, thinking it was pretty good. Got Delroy Lindo, Gene Hackman. Dennis Farina. Rene Russo.
Rene Russo.
Danny DeVito. Dennis Farina just like chewing up scenery like a pit bull. Good lord.
I guess he was a cop in real life too, prior to being an actor.
Yeah, I heard that. Like before he showed up on not Homicide. He did a little stint on
NYPD.
Bong Bong. What's the one? What's the
show? Law and Order.
Law and Order.
You got anything to declare? Yeah, don't go to England.
Fucking airport.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good in that.
Bad weather, worse food, fucking England.
Yeah, Get Shorty is a lot of fun. It's a really good kind of, it reminded me a lot of like an Ocean's 11. Where it's got a lot of threads going on all over the place and they all come together really tightly. And it's really wraps up into a really neat package. A young James Gandolfini is in it.
That's
like,
right.
I say young. He's probably like in his like mid to late 30s, but he barely looks. He's got like long hair, long thinning hair pulled back into a ponytail and like a like 8 o'clock shadow, like a kind of filled in beard, but he's not, doesn't look like James Gandolfini. He just looks like a heavy. It took me probably almost half the movie to realize it was him. He's really good in it. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun all the way around. I forget who directed it. It's the same guy who directed, Bruckheimer.
Joel Silver?
Joel Silver?
Yeah, maybe.
It's weird that we
don't know. I don't know why I'm drawing.
Well, if you say Jerry Bruckheimer, the next person I would think of is Joel Silver, so.
But they made a sequel, and I heard the sequel was not as good, so I did not go watch the sequel.
Yeah, Be Cool was not good. That's with The Rock, right? Isn't The Rock in that? Yeah.
It's one of his first acting roles.
Isn't Get Shorty an Elmore Leonard book? Is that
it is
based off of something here? Okay.
I was reading, I just read some snippet about it the other day, that the character of Danny DeVito, his character, I forget his name in the movie, Martin Weir, was Barry Sonnenfeld.
Okay.
I could see why I could
Men, confused. Men in Black guy.
Yeah. I was going to guess Barry Sonnenfeld next, but I thought it was going to get kind of anti-Semitic if I kept guessing those guys.
Nope, you were right.
Okay.
The Danny DeVito character, Martin Weir, who's like a method actor and like really like up his own ass annoying, was based on Dustin Hoffman, and the guy was Elmore Leonard's dealings with Dustin Hoffman trying to get some other movie made, and that's what he wrote his character in this about, like just a stuck up his ass.
That's fine.
Like dipshit. Like over important actor character, which I found funny. Watch some TV shows. I'm rewatching What We Do in the Shadows, getting ready for the last season to come out shortly, like this week maybe starting. That show slaps. Talk about a show that I thought was going to be a dud that turned out to be just like absolute gold. Like when they announced they were making a show out of that, I was like, ugh, like. Oh, the movie's, I think, like, perfect. Like, why even bother?
I think you're with me on this one, because remember, originally, they were going to make a sequel. They were going to make a movie. They were going to make a movie about the werewolves, and then that got scrapped, and then from the ashes of that came the TV show, and I think both of us were like, oh, I kind of wanted to see the other movie, but, yeah, the TV show has been great.
Wasn't the movie supposed to be called Werewolves?
No,
you're 100% right. And that's excellent. You know what else I watched? I watched the first three episodes of The Boys' new season came out, and that's good.
Same. Yeah,
yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
I enjoy it. I think it's good.
It's not too woke.
I mean, it's just like every other season of The Boys. Like,
yeah. I love. I mean, it keeps happening, but I just can't get over, like, how funny it is that, like, conservative media commentary people are like, the show is against us. It's like, did you watch the fucking show? Like,
Homelander's the bad guy?
Yeah, were you pro-Homelander the whole time?
That was supposedly, unironically, somebody's like, Stormfront wasn't really, like, an alt-right or a Nazi. It's like, I mean, she was, like, literally a Nazi.
Literally a Nazi. Yeah, literally a Nazi. Her name was Stormfront. It's not the voices.
It's not even coded. Yeah, it's
right.
They might as well have been called Nazi.
But this, these first three episodes are really good. I think I'm enjoying this season so far a little more, that they finally announced that next season is going to be the last one, so it's actually
building
towards a conclusion, whereas if they just kept doing the same thing over and over, like, I was already starting to get tired of it, thinking they were just trying to keep, like, going forever. Like, get me to a point where one of two things happens. Either the good guys win or the bad guys win. Like,
I wonder if they're gonna take any, I mean, the, obviously they've gone well. They've diverted quite a bit from the comic book, so I wonder if they're going to take any of the ending from the comic book and put it in the show, because the comic ends like on a pretty sharp turn. Like, I don't know if they're going to do that in the show.
Well, they already like changed the Black Noir thing, so I guess they're probably going to go like totally away from it. But who knows?
Well, I was talking more about the Billy stuff, like.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I don't. That would be kind of ballsy if they did that in the show.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've alluded to Billy being a lot darker, like, on the show, but I still feel like he's still, like, a little too likable. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know. It would be something. I need to watch it, though. It's a good show.
Yeah.
There is a scene in the. Alec, that was the last thing you watched, right?
Yep.
There's a scene where, because they're setting up, like, a rescue for the Homelander's son, like, they're staging it, and he's like, go ahead, throw it. I had to laugh so hard in, like, quite a while with the guy on the wall.
Yeah, it's, That kid's really good.
Yeah.
The first season or two, whenever he first showed up, he was bad. He's put in some work to get to be a better actor because he was not good at first. Yeah. But so far this season, he's really good.
I really like the Soldier Boy in the last season. He kind of made the whole thing for me.
That dude is great. As someone that never watched Supernatural, that guy rocks.
Yeah, that's everything I can think of.
Anything else?
Nope. TJ.
I watched two, like, really mediocre things. I feel like a Morton Joe. I watched a movie called The Beast, which is a movie that, like, you know, we all know that TJ loves his fucking prolonged art films. But this is like the textbook definition of like when people say like, oh, I hate like pretentious art movies. Like that's what this is. Like it is 2.5 hours long. And it is just about like the most like boring ass like plot. It's not a boring plot. Actually, this is a Gogs movie because when I describe to you this plot, no, listen, Gogs, you know exactly what I mean. When I describe to you this plot, you're going to be like, that sounds amazing. And then you watch the movie, you're like, this is boring as fuck. So in the future,
this sucks shit.
In the future, in like the not too distant future, you know, a day not far from tomorrow, AI has taken over everything, right? So AI has deemed that people and humans in general are too emotional. And to get to like higher stations in society to like be in like a high positions of power, you need to undergo this treatment to basically unemotional yourself. Like basically what you do is you have to go through your past lives and basically like wash out your trauma. All right. I'm in. This is an interesting concept. I think this is pretty interesting. So the movie takes place through three different timelines. You have the future timeline. You have like the early, like it's like early, like 1900s maybe, or like late 1800s. And then you have, for some reason, 2016, and it's basically about two characters, Leia Sadu, who is super hot. She was in Dune. She was Lady Finring in Dune. She's been in a ton of movies. Like, I like her in general, but this movie, like, she's bad and the movie's bad, so it's not her. It's just, it is what it is. But basically, it's about her and this other guy and how, like, this is like a lesser version of like 2046, a movie like that. It's about these two people that are in this kind of tragic, like, love affair and how it never really works out. But like, the movie just takes so fucking long to tell you nothing. Like, literally the end of the movie, the resolution is being human is good. And it's like, I waited 2.5 hours for this. And the other thing is that like, I felt like for a movie that, again, is supposed to be like, if you read any like reviews on this or like see any like blurbs on the poster, it's like, you know, genre defining or genre bending and blah 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 blah. But like, it looks really flat. Like all the future stuff like just looks like an office space, and like it's really boring. I'm not saying everything has to be like hyper futuristic, but like, give me something appealing to look at. The like Victorian era or whatever timeline, it just looks, again, it's just shot kind of flatly and boring. And then the like kind of current day, the 2016 or whatever, is really weird because one, it looks like crap, and two, like it's the man in the relationship is basically Elliot Rodgers, the fucking incel guy. Like he literally says in the movie, he literally has like monologues in his car about how he's the supreme gentleman. Talk about not being subtle about your fucking allegory. Like he literally says, I'm
with orange juice.
Dude, it's so bad. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I really did not care for this movie. And the movie, like, I kept hearing people say, oh, this has like David Lynch vibes. This is like Mulholland Drive got thrown around a lot. And I hated this movie. I just did not care for it. If it was maybe an hour shorter, maybe I could have gotten with it. But man, it just took so long to get to the ending. And the ending is so unsatisfying. And like, there's just nothing to like sink your teeth into the rest of the movie. Like it hammers home a lot of the same visual metaphors, like over and over and over. It's like, yeah, we get it, man. We get it. Like This is something like Mother, where it's just like people are like, no. Man, this is so deep, but it's not deep. It's like incredibly shallow. And if like you don't under like you, the only reason you think it's deep is because you understand like a visual metaphor and you think you're a genius. Like, I don't know. I did not care for this movie. It was a big letdown. I'm actually like glad I almost went and saw this at the Charles. It was there a few months ago and I almost went and saw it, but I'm glad I did not because I would have fallen asleep. The other thing I watched is like I forget what year it came out, a few years ago. It's a British movie. It's called Mum and Dad, M-U-M and Dad, because it's British.
Is it a ripoff of Mom and Dad?
The excellent Nick Cage movie? No, I love that movie. That movie fucking rocks. No, it's a fucking, it's another goddamn, like, you know, dirty fucking movie. No. It's like a fucking Hostel. It's like a gore movie. It's just another movie about like this deranged family of like killers. And then just what was the torture porn? It's like a torture porn movie, but I've seen it thrown around as like, oh, the, you know, it's the most disturbing. And I think I'm just over disturbing movies. Like they don't affect me. Like I've seen, like once you see one like torture scene, you've kind of seen them all. And I don't know, like this movie is, there's nothing like new this movie brings to the table. Like it's just gross. And it's like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that like those type of movies are like a very like young man's movie. And I've seen enough of them and I don't need to see any more unless there's like an interesting like narrative. Like I mentioned Hostel. I haven't gone back and watched that movie in years, but at least that had like something to it. You know what I mean? There was like a threadbare plot, but there was a plot and there was like, I still like the idea of like the Hunters Club or whatever, but like this is just like, you know, this is just another iteration of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? Like a less creative version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You have this family, they bring in their victim, they fucking, you know, they have their family rules, and then the victim, you know, struggles to get out, and that's the whole fucking movie. I don't know. It's stupid. I didn't like it. But that's all I watched. Gogs.
I watched 2.5 things all in the same universe. I kind of fell into a deep dive of the Hell House LLC franchise.
I've on never Shudder. Seen any of those. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched Hell House LLC, the director's cut.
Yeah.
Not bad, actually. I liked it. Everyone else
found footage, isn't it?
It's found footage, but they obey their own rules. There's a reason they're videotaping. I can't not say videotaping, but you know what I mean. There's a reason they're recording everything, right? And it's like, you know, it's got some unnerving. It's got a good build up. The end's kind of dumb, but I feel like a lot of those movies, the ends get kind of dumb. Then I watched Hell House 2. And it's not as good.
They called the second story.
No, I wish they had done just the House 2 pun, because that would have been a lot better. No, it's like Hell House 2, like the Revenge of the Door or something stupid. Like it's not. Like, so the conceit of the first Hell House movie, right? And I like this idea, is that these kids are going, they're going to this old abandoned hotel. And it's the Abaddon Hotel, and it is, or it's the hotel in this town called Abaddon, New York. And their job, what they do as a crew is they put on haunted houses. They just go to a town, put it on a haunted house, and then make money, then go to the next project. So this follows them, like, it opens with after whatever happened, like, it's like a known tragedy, and this is like a news group is interviewing them. Yeah, exactly. Oh, so it's
after 9/11. Hell yeah.
Yeah, they did a haunted house in the 9/11. They did it in Tower 2. So they picked the worst day to have a haunted house.
I would watch that movie. I would definitely watch that movie.
Like someone's looking out the window going, is this part? No, the So they have this thing in this house, and then you find out the house really is haunted, and it's like it all goes down opening night, and it's kind of fun because it's playing with the chaos of what's real and what's not, right?
Not bad.
No, it's not bad. And it's kind of like, it's always been one of those things that whenever I've gone to a haunted house or a haunted corn maze or whatever, I was like, if I was a murderer, this is when I would murder, because no one's going to know if it's real.
And that's how we know Gogs is crazy.
Not crazy. I'm just saying it's an opportunity. Like, you know, it presents itself. So
it's like OJ's book, If I Did It.
If right. I did it, right. Like, imagine if O.J. Simpson was turned loose in a haunted house. Like, they would have never figured it out. So the first movie happens, and, you know, that's pretty, you know, it's good times. And then the second one is them investigating what happened to the investigating journalists from the first movie. And then it just starts, and then the third one is these people that are going to a house in a neighboring town, but it's got connections. So there's like a satanic cult, and there's all this other stuff that goes down. It really kind of the more thread it finds, the worse it gets. Like, the more world building it's actually doing itself like a disservice. Like, the vaguity of the first one makes it better. Like, once they start explaining everything, you're like, I don't care anymore.
I always hate that. That's the worst thing you can do in a horror movie. Start fucking explaining.
Like,
everything.
Yeah. Right, like, just give me, just, like, the first one's fun because no one fucking understands it, like, or they're trying to figure out what the root is, and you kind of know what's happening by the end, but then they just keep, like, revisiting it over and over again, so. And then I forget, I had watched most of, oh, here's the other thing, I watched another partial movie, so I watched the first Hell House, the second Hell House, I watched halfway through the third Hell House, I was like, I get it, and then I also watched the rest of that movie I was talking about last week, The Tunnel. The Australian found footage movie. It's fine.
It ends fine. It was about your asshole.
Yeah, that's what I refer to it as. Call that the tunnel.
The ye old tunnel.
Ye old tunnel. But no, so I would give, you know what? Give Hell House LLC Director's Cut a look. It's not terrible. I enjoyed it, but then after that you can shelve the rest of the franchise. The universe does not need to be explored any further. And that, who's left? Sean?
Just me. Besides The Boys, I just rewatched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the most recent one. That movie was a lot of fun.
Movie's still good, right?
Yeah, great soundtrack. It's very into the Spider-Verse, but that's good. Like, they did a good job of approximating that, and it's funny, and, like, I don't know, it's a very watchable movie. They do a lot of interesting things with the animation, and that's all I care about anymore. Like, just so fucking jaded by regular movies. But, no, it's perfectly fine. Enjoy it a lot.
I will stand by the montage of them beating their way through all of the various gang members to try and get to Superfly to No Diggity is like one of my favorite moments of 2023. Like, that sequence is so perfect.
They did
a great
job editing that.
And to that song in particular, it was just.
Yeah. It had that Tribe and Daylight in it. I mean, I'm programmed to like that. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I think I'll say this for the movie that's, it is a very New York movie, and I don't think they always capture that with Ninja Turtle properties. You know what I mean?
They're like, saying cowabunga, and they're acting like surfer bros. What were you about to say, Alec?
I was going to say we should add a category to the Mollies, a favorite scene.
I like that.
I like it.
Yeah, because that scene lives rent-free in my head. It's like, of all the things I watched last year, it's one of the few things that just, like, sticks to your ribs.
I love that. I love that phrase.
Your ribs.
No?
Like, my name's Glib, lyrics to
your ribs.
Everything sticks to my ribs. They're starting to stick to other places now, too.
He can only do that bar after, like, 2019 because he didn't know how to pronounce his own name.
Yeah, because he was Talib Kweli.
He was like, my parents called me Talib. I didn't know that's how it was supposed to be pronounced, so he's actually changed it.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mr. Sean?
No, that was it.
Well, that means we got to talk about Money Train.
Money Train.
The prequel
to
Money Train.
If you want to bet on a Puerto Rican lady getting lit on fire, Money
Sean,
Train.
Sean, were you want to talk about Sterling K. Brown a few weeks ago talking to about...
I think that was PJ, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that shit was hilarious.
You're Puerto Rican?
Stacy showed me the clip, and, like, I could not stop. I was
so funny.
I watched it over.
Like, I think TJ what? Probably made the point. You know he's been on this press junket with her. He heard this same story 10 billion times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, you could just tell, like, he was just fucking done with her. Because, like, she's apparently insufferable. Like, it's
what? Six marriages and insufferable? Get out of town.
I still love the whole, I don't know if y'all are familiar with it, but it was all over my For You page for a while, but she was in some interview and she gave her bodega order, and it was like the most like fucking mayo ass bodega order, and people at,
Eggs Benedict?
No, it was just like shit that was just like,
yo, extra holidays.
It was like ham and cheese. Go ahead, Sean.
Nothing's still better than, hey, I used to live in this house. Get the fuck out of here. Who are you?
But, yeah, people were just, like, people from New York were just dogging her for this, like, bodega order, because she just seems so incredibly phony. Her not speaking Spanish in real life is kind of wild to me, too, that Sean...
I mean, a lot of fucking second generation, third generation kids don't speak, so I don't speak Spanish that well, you know what I mean? I speak better than Ben Affleck does.
You speak it better than Jennifer Lopez does.
Oh, well, so does he. That's the point.
Right. All right, let's get into it. Goggs, what the fuck happened to Money Train?
What doesn't happen in Money Train?
That's the better question.
This could be a two-hour synopsis or, like, a four-minute synopsis, and either way, you'd be 100% correct.
This might be the most movie we've ever watched. True.
There's so much plot.
There's so much
Money
movie
Train.
In this movie. I looked up the Wikipedia because I was interested in seeing the production, because I was fully waiting for this to be like six different projects they put into one, but doesn't say anything about it.
No, so Money Train's got it's a real buffet. It's a smorgasbord for plot. Like, you got a little bit of A and B and C. So let's start with
happening, which I totally forgot about, even though it's
Two
Brothers.
Rounders situation going on. You've got a Batman villain. So here's what's happening in Money Train. It doesn't have the rumble, unfortunately. But it is presented to you by maybe Columbia Pictures. So the movie opens with Woodward Harrelson stumbling around the subway depot, whatever you call those things, a station, and he gets
subway depot.
He gets
off to a hot start.
he's faking being drunk, and the whole sting operation is nearby. And
Dogs, what do you expect the amount of taxpayer money from New York is coming from this weird, like, fucking pickpocketing sting that they're doing?
I mean, how much taxpayer money is being reserved to place these stings in? I figure that if you just had, you know, just out and proud officers walking around the station, it would probably cost less and be more of a deterrent.
I would think so.
But anyway.
And these are the guys that are going. These guys weren't even going to rob him.
No,
he, like, acted blackout drunk.
They
just tried to take his wallet. They weren't even going to, like, beat him up or anything. Just literally pickpocket him and go.
This is a whole ass pickpocketing task force.
Yeah.
This shit is wild.
So they're entrapping these two, Hispanic fellas, as they describe it on the radio. And so they see this guy all drunked up, and they go and they grab his watch and his rings and his necklace and this, that, and the other. They find his badge, and they're like, oh, dip. And then he snaps out of it, and now a foot race ensues, and Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson are chasing. One guy gets immediately just, like, wrapped up against a grate and gets handcuffed to pieces. And then the other kid decides that I'm not going back to juvie for this and starts running towards Lex Luthor's hideout from the original Superman. And they're flying down the tunnels and nobody, they're like, oh snap. And then you're Trainville headquarters. You're on Train Island and there's a guy there who hates his job. And he's like, we've
got Train Island.
Yeah, don't worry, your choo-choos are safe. They're like, we have officers on the track. We have to halt all of the trains. And then Robert Blake is just like, you know what I do in this scenario? I send the money train because nothing's stopping the money train. So he's like, let it loose. And they're like, are you sure? He's like, I'm as sure as I am about murdering my wife. And they're like, fuck. And then they send the money train.
That pretty sure.
Yeah, so... they go and the money trains its way past them and everyone dodges the money train because it's got revenue. And then they go to the next station and out of the money train, they pop out like the one guy from Galaxy Quest and all of his jackbooted money thugs. And they're like, uh-oh, no one stops the money train. And so then this kid who stole like, I don't know, some cheap costume jewelry is running away from Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson onto that platform, and then he just gets Alex Murphy. Like, they unload.
It is excessive.
They unload rounds into this kid.
They shoot think, him like an African immigrant reaching for his wallet around the same time.
It was just like, it was a, like, it was just, it kept going. Like, it wasn't just a warning shot. Because they thought this kid who's running in a panic directly at eight armed men is going to have a chance of robbing the money train. So they turn this guy into soup, and then Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes get mad about it. And they're like, well, if you had done your job, we wouldn't have had to murk this kid. And they're like, point taken. So now they go to Robert Blake's office, I guess, in the center of the earth. And he's like,
the geography of this office is insane.
It's like a Batman's villain's lair because it's like it's built into like the archways and whatever. And he's got his model money train and he sucks on a cigar the wrong way. And he gives them a whole, if you fuck with the money train again, your pants will be dancing with figs. And then they get sent on their merry way because I guess they kind of work for him because they're not NYPD. Like They're New York Transit Association.
Yeah, they're transit cops. Police. They're the cops that run on like the subways and.
But they're rigid. Still cops. Like they're all like right. Subject to the same shit, right? Like they're still police.
I don't know because like the Maryland Transit Authority, like those cops.
Those have a different.
I don't know that they have like arresting powers outside of like transit stuff. I mean, I honestly have no idea.
So like once you assumed
that they were like. Totally different, but I would guess at some point it probably is under the same umbrella somewhere way up.
Yeah.
So once they're New York subterranean police force as opposed to the
wouldn't it make more sense if they were unseeing police? If they're some kind of armed guards or something, not specific. I don't know. Never mind.
Well, I mean, they also are that because they're the armed guards for the money train. And for those of you playing our home game, the money train is the train that collects all the money. From the subway. And
well, the train itself
doesn't. Well, the train itself
doesn't.
The train transports itself. Yeah, it's just like Pac-Man just eating it up.
That'd be sick.
The train goes home after long days. God damn it, I got to get a new job.
just spitting dimes out of its train teeth.
Hey, my dad was a money train. His dad was a money train.
Yeah, my grandpa was a money cart. So the money train collects the money from the trains. Robert Blake's in charge of it. He wears a tuxedo to work. So now Woody Harrelson, who – and this is found out in Robert Blake's office because Robert Blake, I believe, uses the term Negro, points out that
– Because he says that's my brother. And he says, like, well, you're white and then the other thing.
A little later, he says Latina in the funniest way possible.
Yeah.
He's like, Latina. Or something shit's like ridiculous. Yeah,
they just found out about that word.
Right. Well, it just got invented in 95. Yeah. So anyway, he says Negro with the hardest R possible, and you find out that they're brothers, and they're brothers in a four brothers scenario, but they're just two brothers in that scenario.
Two brothers.
And you find out Woody Harrelson was like going to steal his mailbox or something.
Well, he has the same fucking origin as the Jason Todd Robin. Like, they find him, like, trying to steal out of their dumpster or whatever.
Also the same origin as Jean-Claude Van Damme from Kickbox. Or Bloodsport, where he's stealing the sword, and then he gets trained to become a combatant. And then they have a begrudging respect for each other. So now they're brothers, two brothers. You find out that Woody Harrelson has a big gambling problem. And he owes money from to known thugs.
Why'd you say it like that?
It's Frisky Dingo. Known thug.
He can't get that right because he doesn't get paid enough to be a underground cop.
Well, he's like what, 15 grand in 1995 money into these guys? And apparently, which is like $1 billion, and he's such a degenerate. Like, there's a question as to how much he's lost playing three card Monty, which is like not even a game people actually gamble on.
He's losing
money the way people in cartoons lose money.
So here's all the I'm gonna get lost in the sauce here. So we're just gonna just tap on all of the various plots. Robert Blake's in charge of the money train, which he may or may not fuck. Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes are street brothers, but they're also brothers. And Woody Harrelson is down bad to the tone of 15 G's, and he's made his brother aware of this. And he gets dangled off a building, and Wesley Snipes agrees to get him the money in the next, like, day or some such. Then
turns out Chris I had Cooper, it the whole time.
And Chris Cooper shows up, and he tries to light a lady on fire, but the Money Train brothers save her.
Chris Cooper has, like, this, like, gas harness. Like, he wears
it. Was that, like, two-liter bottles of, like... Like, I don't know,
kerosene,
aviation fuel,
napalm, and he's like, remember when the people would steal salsa from Chili's in the commercial, and they would suck it up the straw on their sleeves? He had the reverse version of that.
What a reference. Wow.
So he's shooting that juice all up in that box, and he's like lighting people on fire. But now, Detective Santiago has been added to the Money Train crew, and she is played by the incomparable Jennifer Lopez. She catches just boots to the face from Chris Cooper, and then once he gets on the street, he's outside of her jurisdiction, so they got to give up the chase. So now everyone's hanging out at various bars, hitting on each other. The Money Train brothers are both in love with her. They just white knight, like, debate what this woman they decide which man will have this woman on their own accord.
This is a very, like, 90s, like, love triangle, because it's just implied that she's obviously going to fuck one of them.
Well, she will.
Yeah.
One of us. It will be our decision.
It's our decision. Yeah. This movie.
Well, I mean, they were
very
correct, though, in the movie.
Right. Well, so Wesley Snipes.
Very problematic.
Wesley Snipes bequeaths her to Woody Harrelson.
Is this before or after their Foxy boxing match?
No, this is before. This is before, and then they, you know, there's some love, what have yous, and Woody Harrelson's up all night with her, and then when Woody Harrelson's up all night with her, that's when the Foxy boxing happens, because Wesley Snipes still got something in the basement, and he's got to figure it out. Go ahead.
Really, I felt like he was lying.
Who?
Woody Harrelson.
No, because she corroborated.
Not for nothing.
Like, I buy her fucking Wesley Snipes. There is a 0% chance she's fucking this, like, Buffalo Bill cosplay Woody Harrelson. No chance. Nothing.
All I'm saying is Wesley Snipes got that charisma. Like, he's, like, very
for some reason,
charming.
I don't know why. But Woody Harrelson, like, I bet he's got a fucking just hammer on him.
Oh, he's got a,
like,
wand, I'm sure.
No one acting like that
unless you got that clapper. Like, what are you going to do? Anyway, so he's They're all this love triangle bullshit's happening. Chris Cooper continues to light people on fire. The money train
to which point I'm going, what's going on with the money train?
Here's what's going on with the money train. Jennifer Lopez, Woody Harrelson, and Wesley Snipes are all assigned to, they're detailed to do one run on the money train. That's where we actually get to see the guy from Galaxy Quest. They get into a little kerfuffle. Meanwhile, Woody Harrelson kind of like scopes it all out. He's like, and everybody's like, man, I hate my job. I'd rob the money train. And they're like, yeah, me too. It's too bad we're cops. And Woody Harrelson's like, what if we're not cops on Tuesday? And he's like, well, that would be weird. So then they all keep copping it up or whatever. And the money train keeps a training. And at some point, I guess it's after Chris Cooper gets exploded. Like he gets... Chris Cooper lights Jennifer Lopez on fire in a sting operation after he pushes someone else onto a track, and then he gets chased through the subway system. He is hoisted on his own flaming petard because Wesley Snipes sparks him up, turns him into a torch, and then he gets pancaked by this goddamn train.
When you get hit by Dalsim in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, he's just like wrapped in like, and he just gets flattened, and then that's that.
Also, right? Like, when this part of the movie happened, I was like, I did the classic movie, the podcast move of pausing it to see how much longer the movie we had, and it was like 45
halfway.
Minutes.
Halfway.
I was before. Like, oh my
well,
gosh.
He's
like,
introduced with no circumstance or backstory. He lights a couple people on fire, and then he exits the movie. And it affects nothing.
Literally, yeah, stage left.
You could have taken him out completely. Like, I don't know. Wouldn't, like, a better screenplay somehow involve the, like, flamethrower guy on the money train?
Or as a distraction,
when they reintroduced him, because I've seen this movie before, when they introduced him, I was like, oh, wait, right, Chris Cooper's in this as a firebug. Like, how does this work out? It doesn't.
He's just there. Yeah.
And then he's gone. So
and then Chris Cooper said he regretted making this movie because apparently there was a string of copycat IRLs.
Oh my god!
What?
Afterwards, and he regretted a part of it, and they apparently some theaters cut some of the scenes out of the actual fire,
and no one noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Chris Cooper for having an impact on modern culture. So, you know, big ups.
And he also got mad at the same thing in American Beauty because then he found out guys started fucking each other after his performance and he didn't want that to happen either.
Yeah, now we have Pride Month because of Chris Cooper.
Good going, sir.
Anyway, now here's where I kind of lost.
I couldn't remember what he does in Adaptation. I was trying to jump in, but I don't remember what his character did in that movie. I think.
Was Chris Cooper in Varsity Blues? Was he the bad dad in Varsity Blues, or was that the other guy?
No, but he looks American Beauty. He looks just like him.
Yeah. So anyway, this is where, in full disclosure, I was zooted at this point. I lost the thread as to why they got fired. I forget if it was because of the altercation on the money train or because Chris Cooper exploded, but for reasons that I don't completely recall. Both Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes are now fired from the transit police.
I think Woody Harrelson was fired because he was drunk.
Is that it?
He showed up drunk on the job at that last point. And I think Woody was fired because his form of getting Chris Cooper under control was beating him to death while he was on fire.
Well,
what killed him? The fire or the beatdown? We'll never know.
Well, the train killed him.
Hit by a train.
He got pancaked by like several tons of 70 mile an hour steel.
This is also after Wesley Snipes, who inexplicably just has 15 bands laying around, gives Woody Harrelson the money, and it gets stolen by street toughs. I don't remember because I was also kind of out of it.
No,
wasn't it stolen by like an old lady or something?
After he de-pickpocketed someone else, and he's like, that's why you keep it in your chest pocket. I said, oh, shit. And so then And then he gets the ever living dick kicked out of him by known thugs.
Noted thug.
Oh no, ever living
Ray Lewis
is a great
that's
name.
A noted
man.
Thug. So now hold up, brought it back.
Pennsylvania, that's what it's called.
Pennsylvania,
okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dawkins with the mustard stain on him.
Honus Wagner's pre-owned cologne.
Honus Wagner's pre-owned cologne.
Edgar Allan Poe, Feet of a Crow. Feet of a Crow.
So wait, but also, there's so much plot in this movie. This doesn't matter. But after Woody Harrelson feels sexually betrayed by Wesley Snipes, and they're like hanging. So. Well, because there's a very passionate love scene between Jennifer Lopez and...
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. The love scene in this movie is so hilarious. Like,
with Woody Harrelson getting the Christ kicked out of him.
I'll remember when, like, every fucking R-rated movie had a sex scene like this that was just, like, weird thrusting. And, like,
it's the Tony Scott maneuver.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, like, Woody Harrelson's getting... whooped, and so is Jennifer Lopez. But then afterwards, there's another sting operation. This time, Wesley Snipes is acting drunk, and then he almost gets raped by two ladies. But she has to step in and keep that from happening.
Oh, one of which is Tony Soprano's sister, I believe.
That's correct.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez can't even act drunk convincingly. I've never seen someone act drunk so bad. Like, it was like, oh my God, it was terrible. It was like,
not since the freshman year of college when we gave a kid a glass of vinegar and he thought that was alcohol and then he was acting drunk for the rest of the afternoon.
Hey, man.
I don't know, man. If you drink a whole glass of vinegar, you might be kind of fucked up.
I mean, something was going
in some kind of way.
Yeah, shout out to that kid. So now, the thugs beat up Woody Harrelson, doesn't have the money, people get fired. Wesley Snipes goes to, like, terms of rampagement, and he goes to the strip club and he just murders the entire, like, gambling organization. Like, he goes and he breaks out all of his blade moves and just looks dick. And then they come
Wesley
back.
Prime Wesley Snipes to me is when he starts breaking out his fucking, like, katas. Like, I love that
hell
shit.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Also, shout out to Money Train for being a backdoor Christmas movie, because this movie takes place from Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up. This is another non-traditional fucking Christmas movie. So is that Mom and Dad, by the way. That takes place during Christmas.
Anywho, so now Wesley Snipes has settled all the beefs physically. His brother is safe. His brother's safe. Everything's good to go. He's going to go finger blast Jennifer Lopez again. And they're like, it's New Year's Eve. Where's Woody Harrelson? And they're like, oh, no, he might be robbing the money train. And then he does rob the money train. And so then the last 20 minutes of this movie are what the whole movie should have been, which is the robbery of the money train. And then the train, they are like, okay, we're on this train together now and we have the money on the train. And now what do we do? Well, Robert Blake's like, well, shut it off. And Wesley Snipes like, we'll bleed the brakes. And then the Dada man shows up and he's fucking driving another train. And he gets fucking backdoor slammed because Robert Blake's like, I'll sacrifice every black engineer on this place to get the money train back. And
Robert Blake is like fully okay with killing like a train full of innocent people. Like,
it's New York, we'll make more, I guess. He's
like when they first cut to the conductor guy, I was like, oh, it's just him. And then they show, like, oh, no, that's a train full of people.
A train full of humans.
Well, the reason the whole movie
killing the one.
The reason the whole movie can't be this is because, like, it's not like Take 'Em and Pelham 1, 2, 3. They're on a money train by themselves. It's like, well, I guess we just got to wait till we get to the other stop. What are you doing for 2 hours? It's not like they can steer it and go somewhere else.
Right. So, anywho.
That is the problem with a train movie. You can't really go anywhere. Like, it's on track.
So the money train gets shot to pieces. It obliterates a steel barrier, which is made of steel, which everyone made a real point on talking about.
Jet fuel can't melt those.
So anyway, so then the Dada Man gets fucked up, and then they're like, we got to come up with a way to eject ourselves off of this scenario. So they rig up, like, throw it in reverse, make the thing go dipsy-doodle, because the brakes are gone, because Robert Blake is like, give me the Robert
Brakes. Robert Brakes. The Robert Brakes.
So anyway, they make sort of a battering ram contraption to throw this bitch in reverse. They launch themselves onto the other train. The other train just goes bananas, kind of like the thing from Die Hard 3. Then they're on the platform, and it's Gucci because everyone's safe. And then Robert Blake emerges in his top hat from whatever, like, soiree he was at for other train magnates. And then he's going to go, like, he gets, like,
him and the guy from Monopoly.
He gets punched in the mouth so hard, he does, like, a full-blown, like, standing backflip. And then when he's coming back at them, maybe he has a pistol. Then Detective Santiago arrests him for endangering the lives of all the non-money trains.
But they get away with it in the stupidest way, because he's like, you guys aren't even cops. I fired you. It's like, yep, and nothing else.
And nothing else.
Right. Yeah.
And then Woody Harrelson's got a satchel in him that's worth like a half a mil.
Oh, I thought it was like 40 grand.
No, it was $547,000.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm just a 500 part.
Which is like a heavy amount. That's heavy. Like,
yeah, dude, you ain't fitting that in your fucking coat pocket.
Correct. Like, even in hundreds, that would be a lot of bill. Well,
like it's like that joke in Dodgeball where he like opens the briefcase.
$50,000. Yeah. So then they're like, all right, well, now we're gonna go. Do they even get their jobs back? I forget how the movie just kind of
it just ends
out
in strange days.
Yeah.
And they're just walking away from the camera arguing about the money.
Yeah.
And like Jennifer Lopez gives them like a thumbs up, like, I did it. And now maybe she's in charge of the trains now.
Yeah. And just Woody Harrelson's going to go lose $500,000 playing old maid or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And that's money
bridge. yeah, this movie is fucking weird. Like,
it is incomprehensible. Weird. That's a good way of describing it.
Yeah.
There's just so much movie. Like, they just, like, they must have got a deal on plot, and they're like, just keep bringing it over. Like, give me more.
It just doesn't, the actual, like, money train part of the movie, like, is so small. Like, if you had a pie chart, it'd be the fucking smallest fucking slice.
And they're so like tangentially related to the money train. Wouldn't it make more sense if they worked on it or something, right, like directly?
If they were like the guards or something, like,
right, yeah. Or the mechanics or anything to do with it. Well, they're just like happenstance.
They don't even have to be cops. They could be con men who just rob transports, and they're like, this is now the next logical step for us.
This feels like a movie where they wrote the movie, but didn't like ask anybody what the budget was going to be,
right?
And they were like, oh no, your budget's like 20 mil. And they're like, oh, let's reverse how much train is in the movie with how much exposition there is.
Yeah, you know, but what? You're
probably, instead of an hour and a half of train, we're gonna have an hour and a half of talking and 10 minutes of train.
Bro, but whoever mentioned Ocean's 11, it's like, bro, just spend an hour setting it up. Then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. Yeah. And then here's their whiteboard of who's a fudge. But they just kind of like stumble fuck their way into the train robbery, kind of.
And they really don't even show us. Like, oh, he's robbed the train now. I better go.
Yeah, they don't even like really rob the train. They just kind of get on it and get off of it.
They get on it. They get in an argument. They get in an argument about the ethics of stealing the money, and then they fight a little bit, and then it's over.
Security cameras were not invented in 1997.
Right. Like, wouldn't that place be loaded to the nines with security cameras? Also, I've missed one point, which was Woody Harrelson was going to take the money train to a spot where he could like escape into like the Pine Barrens or something, but that was being watched by the police. So then
he lost the train to Cuba.
Right. Like, it's a wild idea to steal. Like, if your getaway car is on a fixed situation,
yeah,
like, you don't have a lot of options.
Stupid.
Well, that would be incredibly stupid. Harrelson just like switching tracks all the way across the country and nobody can catch him.
He just shoots in ladders.
I'm a deal on him now.
Right. It's like trying to rob someone on a staircase. It's like, okay.
While I'm thinking about it, I should have brought it up during the synopsis part, but did anybody think that the train was just going to, like, the way they shot it, when the money train got derailed and was, like, flipping around, and they kept showing Robert Blake, did anybody think the train was just going to mush Robert Blake? Like, because they kept, like, showing him and, like,
better movie.
Yeah. No luck. No mushing.
Like, this could have been, like, they could have made this movie more like a Snowpiercer, where they had to fight their way through various levels of guards, like, to get from the back of the train to the front of the train.
That sounds amazing. That's sort of like a raid. Yeah, I mean, a raid on a train.
Just, like, sideways. Instead of going up, we're going to the left.
Well, guys, we saw that was with you, right? There was that Indian movie that's coming out. Yeah, we saw some trailer that's just called, like, Hill or something.
I think.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. They're fighting their way through a train, and it is like if you guys seen the trailers for this, it's like the most brutal trailer I've ever seen.
No, but fighting that through your way in a train in India sounds like impossible because you can't even like breathe on those things, let alone do karate.
Like I was watching the trailer with TJ, I was like, the body count in just this trailer alone is insane. Like if it's 30 or if it's like 2 hours of this, like it's gonna be
significant. I think it was called Kill. It had like a really goofy title.
Yeah.
All right, five knuckle shuffle time, I guess. If we have anything else we want to talk about before we get into five knuckle shuffles.
No.
No. God.
I mean, this is like the definition of a five. Like, this is...
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
I mean, like, I'm going to forget about this movie.
I have a hard time forgetting this movie. This movie
But it's just so, like, I don't know. It's, like, it's better than the last two. Maybe it's a six.
It's very similar to the last movie we watched because it's very boilerplate, but also completely insane.
Yeah, like, it's nuts. I'm gonna amend it. I'm going to go six because it did do something for me. And, like, Wesley Snipes is charming in it. The plot is... heavy.
Which one?
All of them. There's so much plot. There's something for everybody. It's a real grab bag.
It's a real 12 quadrant movie.
Yeah, like I don't know who pitched this idea and who greenlit it.
A real 17 act movie.
It's something. It is something else. And you'll never see it again because of cell phones. Probably. It's just it's Money Train. I wish they should bring back Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. I think they're both still alive to do another movie together so they can complete the trifecta.
We're just talking about that. Yeah. Well, they've already been three movies together.
What's the third one?
Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
Oh, snap. Never mind. They can do no more movies together. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's like, it's the best thing we've seen this month out of Jennifer Lopez Alooza. But it's not good. And she's barely in it. Like, she's real in it, like, too. She's in it just bad. As much as, like, she is set dressing. She could just be, she's a MacGuffin in this movie. Like, she's talked about more than she is talking.
Which is fine, because she's
the old pussy MacGuffin.
Yeah, the old who gets to stick it. Sean.
It's also a six for me. They're totally charming together. Robert Blake, shout out, doing his best Robert Forster doing Robert Blake impression. I don't know how to like describe his performance precisely, but it is a performance. Mm-hmm. I think PJ said in text, it's like a fucking Discount Fear City where Chris Cooper's just like torching people in toll booths for no reason. Which is, I kind of respect that they don't explain it in retrospect because it's just a thing that happened, but it's like the most insane thing that could possibly just happen with no relevance to anything else going on in the movie. It feels really long. I know it's probably under 2 hours, but it feels like it's about four. And it's the best Jennifer Lopez movie we watched because she's not in it a whole lot, which is good. It's fun. I like Wesley Snipes. I like Woody Harrelson. I like 90s jank. And it looks, there's something, I don't know, there's something comforting about watching a movie from this era because there's no, I don't want to say no CG because like why would there be? But it, at least it's real. Like, you know, they're doing real things and there's sets and shit going on. Like, it just looks better. I know that's kind of a stupid thing to say, but it looks like a movie. So yeah, it's a six for me, Alec.
A few things. Two days after the film opened, two men poured gasoline over a ticket booth in a subway and set fire to it, and the guy died of his injuries.
And those two men were Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
The subway workers called for a boycott of the film and removal of all posters from every subway station, and Bob Dole came out in support of them.
Oh, Bob Dole don't like that.
Bob Dole doesn't like my trade. Also, the apparently this movie came out in 2005. Is that
really
right?
I had 95 when I looked it up.
95. That's not about 95. Well, I guess in 95, the New York City Transit Police Department was absorbed into the New York Police Department, so it was its own thing.
Weird.
Before and then.
Right. Maybe this movie right pushed it over the edge.
Yes. They're like, oh, man, we can't have corrupt money trains floating around.
All these loose cannons.
And the average shot length for this movie is 4.2 seconds.
That's a lot of cuts.
Good God.
That's a lot of nuts.
It's not a good movie, and it's not even really a fun movie.
No.
But I do find Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, like, I love their chemistry. They're just really charming together.
Yes, agreed.
Like, they work really well together. And, like, the same thing with White Man Can't Jump. I've never seen Wildcats. But White Man Can't Jump is the same thing. It's like, put these two guys together. I'm curious, like, how much of their interaction is just, like, riffing and then just, like, talking and, like, playing off each other, if any. Just because they seem to have such good, like, chemistry, but then when, like, anybody else in this movie comes on screen, just, like, brah, slows down and grinds to a halt. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a six. It's, I don't know, it's not terrible, but it doesn't merit anything that's in the range of good. Yeah, TJ.
So I just a brief thing real quick. So I started watching this movie Saturday night and I was very drunk and I must have fallen asleep like the minute the movie came on, and I woke up and they were at the part where they were setting up the sting right before the fire guy, gets got, right? And I was like, ah, shit, like, I'll just start this again tomorrow. But I had assumed that I'd only fallen asleep for, like, a minute. Like, you know what I mean? You kind of nod off for a second. Yeah. And then I went to watch it the next day and realized, oh, no, I was asleep for at least an hour. Like, the movie's just so fucking – I use this a lot, but this movie is a cipher. Like, you can watch this movie at any fucking point and come away with the same experience.
I guess, real quick, has anybody, sure. I'm sorry, it just made me think of it. Has anybody heard of this Netflix show with Giancarlo Esposito where it is a cipher? It's like 8 episodes that you can watch in any order.
And Alex
talked about it.
It was really good.
Okay.
Kaleidoscope?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Alex talked about
like a year ago, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm gonna give this actually a 4. It's a 4 for me, dog. I mean, it's bad, and it took a lot to get through. I do agree, like, I agree with Sean where, like, I miss, like, 90s movies just because, like, I don't know, maybe it's just nostalgia, but it does feel like a movie, so that does carry a little weight with it. I agree with everybody that said Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson have great chemistry together. They just need a better movie. Like, this movie is a mess. Like, I feel like this is a project where they both signed on and then they were just like, maybe they, you know, it's the Bill Bratsky thing where we burn the bar down and then we just sit here until they build the bar around us. Like, this feels like a movie that they just fucking made and they were just like, I don't fucking know. Money Train? Like, You know what I mean? Like, it's like Batman villain, okay. Money Train, Love Triangle, okay. Like how does the it all name, come
the title of the movie is atrocious.
Yeah, it's what's so, even, have you seen, did you see the poster for it where they're like running in front of the Money Train? Like they're the fucking Flash of Superman? No, I was really waiting for that scene too. They're like, oh no, we gotta outrun the Money Train. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's still really bad. Like it is like enough where it's very confusing in its badness. But like, it's just like, it's so many disparate plot elements that are just smashed together, but like, I didn't enjoy it while I was watching it. And it's not bad enough where it's funny. Like it's competent, right? Like it's not like it's shot okay. Like the jokes are okay. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it needs to be like 2 degrees, like less better to be like more memorable to me and a more pleasurable experience. Jennifer Lopez is terrible. Absolutely terrible. She is hot in this, but I mean,
she is.
100%. She's been hot throughout. I mean, she's a good looking lady. This one especially though, she looked great, but again, like I don't care. Like it was stupid. And also like not for nothing, but for like what this movie's trying to do. And I know we already talked about how this is like a very problematic love triangle. I don't know. This is probably going to come off really wrong, but like she should have been more like flirty with them. Cause I didn't really understand the love triangle. Cause like she kind of treats both of them the same way, but she's not like, I don't know. She didn't feel like sexual. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's.
What about
like,
the scene where she's having sex with them?
Well, that's, I mean, you're already there, but like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Am I off base here? I felt like I was like, I don't know. She just kind
of. She's like the scene in the back of the bar where she's dancing with, like, she's doing the salsa dancing and slow dancing
after
with Wesley
they
Snipes.
Fucked already? I think that was
no,
after
that's,
they fucked.
That's what, that's the prelude to a foot.
That is what happens. That's why you go out dancing, fellas. But yeah, I don't know. This movie sucks. I wish this month was over. So yeah, so it's a 4 for me, dog. Another miss. Alec, I think it's your pick next week.
It is. I had a couple lined up, but looking through a filmography, I think I'm going to pick Dunkin', the Dunk Kings. It's the Dunkin' Donuts commercial that she's in. That's 4 minutes long.
No, I feel like we can't review a 4 minute feature, but it is a great idea.
But it's
that's our TikTok episode. It's 10 minutes long.
So I'm down to 3, and I think I just narrowed it down based on time. One was going to be Gigli, which is 2 hours and 1 minute long.
The movie's 2 hours long. Wow.
And like I've never seen it, but I know it's like
I've never seen it either.
Epically, like Pan is like one of the worst. The other one was Out of Sight, which
I've heard that's good.
I remember liking that movie. Isn't that a long time ago?
Is it one of the Coens involved in that movie, or am I thinking of a different movie?
I don't know. I know it is George Clooney.
Maybe it's like Steven Soderbergh or something. Somebody like very good is involved in that film.
Steven Soderbergh.
I forgot all about that movie.
It is? Yeah, directed by Steven Soderbergh. Oh, and written by Elmore Leonard.
Oh, shit.
Just talking about for,
I'm already voting was written that by one Elmore Leonard.
What with Ving Rhames, Steve Zahn.
Out of Sight has a great cover, by the way. Also, very awesome, like 70s looking cover.
But that's also 2 hours, just over 2 hours. And the third movie is Anaconda, and that's an hour and 29 minutes.
Oh, there we go. I've never seen Anaconda. I'm kind of excited somebody picked it.
Oh, you've never seen Anaconda?
Never seen it. Never seen it.
That's a banger.
Anaconda, John Voight, yeah. Ice Cube.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
I think, does it have to, what's the redheaded guy from?
Steve the Pirate?
Jade. Or no, I'm sorry.
David Caruso?
Eric Stoltz. Not David Caruso.
You said Eric Jade, Stoltz. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is Eric Stoltz in Jade?
No, Eric Stoltz is in Anaconda, and he looks like David Caruso because they're both redheads.
Gotcha.
That is 100% correct. Owen Wilson's in Anaconda.
Kerry Worth?
Is he the snake?
He's the
Frank. Well, actually, the snake has a credit. Frank Welker, who does the voice of Shaggy.
Megatron.
He's the snake.
It's amazing. Isn't Frank Welker also Optimus?
Is
he Megatron in?
I think he's Megatron, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Optimus Prime is,
Oh, no, that's Peter a different Cullen. Guy.
Peter Weller.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it's Frank Welker is the snake's voice.
That's hilarious. The snake has a voice. Oh, my God, does the snake talk?
I don't recall the snake talking, but, like, maybe it's just Frank Welker going, hiss.
I think that's exactly what it is.
I'm a snake. Remember that like video?
Like Paul Lind? Like,
oh, all right.
So yeah, there.
I feel like most animated snakes are like queer coded. In like, wasn't the snake in what's it called? The Robin Hood. The Robin Hood. Jungle Book too.
It's the same snake in both.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show, everybody.
Did we land on Anaconda?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Because of its length. Ironically.
Ironically. Long snake short movie.
Put that on the poster.
All right,
boys.
Killers. Bye, everybody. I'm going to go eat gummy worms for dinner.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. I'm really into the sour trolleos.